And I've been thinking about different things that goes on. I know Christmas is about 10 days away. And that's the time that we usually pass out gifts and, you know, give things to people that we love, and then sometimes even people that we don't even know, you know, we might give them a gift or something. But, you know, I got to thinking in the last couple of weeks or so just what God's given me.
Yeah, brother.
Amen. I began to think, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know, I got to thinking about that. You know, what a wonderful thing that God give us a gift.
Yeah.
He didn't have to, I mean, but he gave us a gift.
Amen.
You know, we talk about exchanging gifts sometimes. I got to thinking about how good God has been to us.
Yes,
that he'd give us the gift of eternal life. You know, it's just there for the taking. All we got to do is pick it up.
Amen, brother.
And, you know, we're saved forevermore. But just to think about how good God been has been to me, you know. And I got to thinking sometimes, I'm not a rich man in terms of what a lot of people think in this day and time,
yeah,
as far as financial wealth goes, but I'm a rich man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and many things that I begin to look at over the years of what God's given me, and that's something that you just can't get anywhere else.
Got that right, bro.
God can give you that kind
Amen.
Of gifts. Only God can give you the kind of gifts that he gives you.
Yeah.
And I begin to look and think about my family and different things. You know, I've got a daughter that, by all practical purposes, and far as science and doctors go, ought not be here.
That's right.
But it's a gift of God that she's here.
Yes.
Sure.
Me another, he gave me eternal life one day when I was
Yeah. Him Amen, life. Brother. Help yourself.
He gave me my daughter back as a gift to, you know, just to have to here on this earth for a little while longer. You know, and I got to think.
Yeah.
I got to think about my son. You know, he was working at the bank one day and got robbed. I thought to myself, you know, that could have been the end of his life.
That's right.
There, but it wasn't. God gave me another gift to know that he's still here sitting in church, and he gave me a fine wife. It's another gift. And I just come to think about all the gifts that God's given me.
Yeah, bro.
And how good he's been to me.
Yes.
And sometimes people wonder why I jump up and shout and run.
Amen.
But when you start thinking about all the gifts he's given you and what God's done for you, how can you just say,
yeah. Yes, sir. That's good stuff. Every one of us ought to shout right there. I was fixing to throw a songbook at him. I want you to turn to two passages of Scripture tonight. I want you to get Ephesians chapter number 2. I ain't kidding. And hold your finger right there and go to Romans chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 2 and then Romans chapter number 6. Say amen when you find them both. God has given us many, many good things, has he not?
Yes.
The greatest gift of all is the gift of his dear son, Jesus Christ. When you think about Christmas, it's hard to think about Christmas and not think about giving.
Yeah.
I would say if there is everybody talks about the spirit of Christmas. If there is a spirit of Christmas, I would say it is a spirit of giving.
Yeah.
Amen? My wife and I was shopping the other night, and they had the Salvation Army guy out there ringing his little old bell, you know, and I just watched how many people just walked by, just blew him off, you know, and I don't give regularly to the Salvation Army. I give through the church. That's the way the Lord designed it. Amen. But I just saw the old guy. We had to park way back in the parking lot, and we was just walking a long way, and I just watched people after people after people, and that guy just ringing that bell. And I thought, well, thank God there's somebody ringing the bell. Amen. Thank God there's somebody. I don't know what the Salvation Army stands for anymore. I know what they used to. They used to uphold the old bloody cross of Calvary. Amen. So I reached down in my pocket and I thought, man, I ain't got no change. And the Holy Ghost said, you got some dollars. Amen. So I stopped and put some dollars in there. But really, Christmas, you can't think about Christmas without thinking about giving. And when you really think about Christmas and you know the truth about Christmas, Christmas is about giving. But it's about what was given to us. Amen. One of our famous soul-winning verses we find in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23. Most of you can quote it if you witness much. I hope you can. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible said, for the wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the, say it with me, gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what a gift is? It's something that you received that you did not pay for. Let me say it again. It's something that you received that you did not pay for. It is a gift. Over the years, I have been given many gifts. I've had things at my house that people have given me over the years. I got a shotgun that Brother Donnie Montcalm used to come here. I mean, a real nice 12 gauge over and under shotgun. I've got that shotgun. Every time I see it, you know what I'm reminded of? The one that guy hadn't been in his church in probably, I don't know, 8-10 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't even know where he's at in the world. I know he and his wife busted up and don't know where they wound up. But every time I see that gun, Brother Freddie, even though I don't know where he is, it makes me think about the man who gave me that gift. And now I look at other gifts that I've been given, and every time I see those gifts, I remember that guitar. No, Levi played his tonight. Mine's back there in my office. Every time I put that guitar in my hand, I think about Brother Steve Wester, and I don't know where he's at in his life right now, but I remember the day that he gave me that guitar. And I remember the giver of the gift more than I remember the gift itself. And as Christians, we ought to remember the giver of the gift. Amen? Every time we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, we ought to shout and give glory unto God that one day God saw the world in a mess and in sin and gave us His Son. Amen? And we ought to shout because of the giver of the gift that was given. It was something that was given to us that we did not pay for. It was something that was given to us that we did not earn nor deserve. Amen. You don't deserve God's air, you suck it in and blow it out. You don't deserve to walk on His ground. You don't deserve to eat His food. Didn't get a whole lot of amens right there. I know I don't. I'm a hell-deserving sinner is what I am. But I get to breathe His air by His grace, and by His grace I get to walk on His ground, and by His grace I get to eat the food that He supplies. Amen. And every one of those things is a gift from God. We read Romans 6:23, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
The gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. What a present. That shotgun's going to rust. That guitar's going to wear out. But the gift I got is eternal. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Are y'all there? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've had some people who believe in a work salvation, and you go through those verses with them, and I said, why do you have to work for a gift? And they have a hard time dealing with that, amen? But listen, I'm gonna take these two verses tonight and just use the word gift and what was given. Several times over the last couple of weeks, especially last night, that's when the Lord gave me this message. I was standing at the funeral home up here for Brother Jim Denson's family, and I saw, let me count on my hand, 1, 2, 3, 4 preachers that I've known for years and years. 4 preachers. Every one of them asked me the same thing. And we're good friends, we're close, and I'm not saying anything derogatory toward them in no way, shape, or form. I've even made this statement in the last couple of weeks myself, but it hadn't hit me till last night. First preacher, I walked up and said, hey, brother, how you doing? He said, doing great. He said, are you ready for Christmas? I said, yeah, I reckon. Next preacher, hey, brother, how you doing? He said, y'all about ready for Christmas? Next preacher, are you ready for Christmas? Next preacher. Same exact statement. Are y'all ready? How many of y'all made that statement? Y'all about ready for Christmas? That last preacher that said that to me was Brother William Thompson. I told Brother William. Brother William said, y'all about ready for Christmas? I said, brother, I've been ready since it was over last year. Y'all got quiet on me. And I know why you did. Because our mentality of Christmas, we're ready if we purchased everything that we need to purchase. Am I right about it? You got a list and you're checking it, who we got left to buy for, what can we get for. My stepdad, Wayne Newsom, Pop, hardest man in the world to buy for you ever seen in your life. Don't know what in the world to get him, just buy him an ink pen. He'll be happy with that. We was walking through Michael's the other day, and they got these little metal signs like you hang up in a garage or something, and I'm telling, mama keep your mouth shut, and that's impossible, ain't it? Sticky finger in her ears, Brother Tommy. And I seen this big sign, man. It said Mopar parts sold here. Something like that. I said, man, that's for pop right there. But anyway, and we think about we got to get this and we got to get that. Listen, everything that we need to give, we already have. If you're saved by the grace of God, everything that is a necessity, that everything else is extra. Everything is, that is a necessity for you and I to give, those we care about and those we love, we already have. I thought about the greatest gift that was ever given. Brother Tommy preached about it right there for a minute tonight. And the greatest gift that was ever given was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He loves to be regifted. Come on, can I get a witness right there? You ever got a present from somebody and turned around and gave it to somebody else? Got a few honest people. Hey, man, hey, I've got stuff before and I ain't got no use for it. And Angie say, what can we get so-and-so? I say, hey, right there. Hey, man. Boy, some of y'all looking like your mom-in-law just moved in. Hey, man, they call that regifting. Jesus Christ is a gift that is meant to be regifted. They say that again. Jesus Christ is a gift that is meant to be regifted. There's nothing better than you can give to somebody else that's better than eternal life. Nothing better. There's not a better gift. Ashley, I don't know her last name, but she left here this morning with the gift of all gifts. She didn't come to get a present. She didn't put her name in the drawing, but hallelujah, Jesus did. 2,000 years ago, he knew her name as he died on Calvary, and this morning she showed up to the party and got her gift. Glory to God. The good thing about regifting Jesus is I don't lose mine. I get to keep my gift and at the same time give it to somebody else. And I can give it again and again and again and again and again, and it never diminishes my Jesus in me. Matter of fact, the more of him I give, the bigger in me he gets. That's amazing, ain't it? The more of him I spread, the more I tell about him, and the more I talk about him, and the more I preach about him, seems like the closer I am to him, and the more I talk to him, and the more I hear from him. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, well, I just ain't heard from the Lord. You ain't giving him out much. Right. Right. Amen. You start bragging on him and telling people about him, he'll swell up in you. Amen. You'll have so much Jesus to give, you can't get rid of it. We all right there? I had this thought last night. I was talking to Brother Jeff Bird, I believe it was Brother Jeff Bird, one of the guys at the funeral home, and he said, preacher, you know, it's got ridiculous. He says, it's got so the average man can't afford Christmas. Our minds are twisted.
Amen.
Our minds are twisted. The world has fashioned us and taught us that Christmas is something totally opposite than what it really is. And here's what I thought about, and here's what I'm going to preach to you just for a few minutes. The one who had the very least to give gave the most. The one who had the very least to give seemingly gave more than anybody else ever has or ever will. He said, the birds in the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. Jesus didn't even have a house to live in. I never read about where he received a salary. In our vernacular, if he lived in Villa Rica, you know what we'd call him? A bum, a bum. A bum, homeless guy. But he never begged either. Never had a home to live in, but he never begged. He had nothing to give, but yet he gave everything. And I just thought I'd go through some scriptures tonight and tell you what Jesus gave that monetary gain cannot touch. We can't even pay the interest on what Jesus gave. We can't even pay the interest. And listen, through him and by him, you and I can give exactly what he gave. Through him, not of ourselves, but through him and by him, we can give the world, our family, our loved ones, exactly what Jesus gave. John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave. I love that word, don't you? That he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You say, what did Jesus give? To the world, he gave love. To a world that knew not love, to a world that knew not God, the Lord gave love. L-O-V-E, love. This world has got a twisted idea of what love is. It's some heated affair in a hotel somewhere. It's some kind of perverted sexual fantasy. That ain't love, friend. That's wicked and it's out of hell. Hey, love is a gift from God. I didn't know how to love till I had Jesus in my heart. Jesus said the greatest commandment is this, that you love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. He said the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, but maybe this year, hey, if we ain't got the money for the iPads and the iPods and the iPhones and all that other crazy stuff, may we just love each other a little bit. May we just take the time and put our arm around a family member, somebody we don't get along real good with, and say, hey, whether you know it or not, I just want you to know I love you. When's the last time you told somebody you love them? You say, well, my family don't do that. Y'all crazy. Amen. Y'all nuts. We're to love each other. We're to love each other. Man, if you love each other, you can put up with each other. If you love each other, you can get along with one another. Amen. Every family's got somebody, I'm sure. Well, bless God, I ain't going if they coming. Well, you're the one in the wrong. If you're supposed to be the Christian in the situation, you're the one in the wrong. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. What was it? Love lifted me. Amen. Thank God Jesus proved his love for this world, did he not? Yes. To the world, Jesus gave love. And I believe from a church, as Christians, we ought to be able to give some love back. Yes. I ain't talking about this touchy-feely, Joel Osteen kind of weird mess. I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about standing around in a circle and holding hands and singing Kumbaya. I'm talking about genuinely loving each other. Yes. And you know, love is just not a thought. Love is just not a statement. Love is an action. We show love. Love cares. Love goes beyond measures and beyond means. Love will sacrifice. Love will go above and beyond the call of duty. Love will get out of its comfort zone. Love will get up in the middle of the night and go see about somebody who needs some help. Love will walk across the street to a neighbor who's going through a hard time. We all right? To the world, God's gift was love. He gave us love. Amen. John said these things. My mind just went totally blank. That you may know you have eternal life. What is it that you love the brethren? Somebody help me. You know you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. Did I get that finally? Whew, good Lord. I'm tired. I didn't know how to love till I got saved. I thought I knew what love was. I didn't even know how to love my wife. And I believed with all my heart I did. I thought I loved her with all my heart. But boy, I didn't know how big love was till I got God inside me. And we've got God inside us. Some of the meanest people I know are Baptists. That's the truth. That's the truth. Man, that idiot out yonder, I forget, Kansas, wherever that's at, protesting them funerals and all that stuff. Man, that guy don't love people. You can't tell me he loves people. When a mom and dad's getting their son's dead body off an airplane who just gave his life for his country, and this bunch of so-called independent Baptists, supposed to love sinners, they show up and protest the young man's funeral. That's sick, friend. What's the movie star's name that just died? Done them Fast and Furious movies. Paul Walker. Do you know they're protesting his funeral? Because he taught the world to live fast and furiously. They're going to protest the guy's funeral. I don't care how wicked he was. Protesting the funeral is not the answer. That's like bombing an abortion clinic. That ain't how you show the world you love them. You love them by praying for them. You love them by caring enough to give the gospel to them. You love them by helping them when they're in need. You don't love them by throwing rocks at them. Amen. I believe those people out there, is it Kansas, Levi? I believe they're whack jobs. I believe they're drinking that funny Kool-Aid. And I wish they'd take Baptists off their church sign. Call themselves what they are, a bunch of kooks. Bunch of Nazis. I'm telling you all my heart, bro, that stuff's wicked. Man, you can't tell me. And these churches that put out all these publications, and all they do is talk about one another. That bunch out of Texas called me one time, wanted some information. I said, I ain't got no information for you. They said, you don't know how many you baptized last year? I said, got a good idea. Well, how many? I said, ain't none of your business. Well, we want to put it in our paper. I said, I don't want in your paper. I've stayed out of your paper this long, and I count it a blessing of God that my name ain't been in your publication. Please don't call this number again. All they want to do is make one look better than the other. Amen, amen, amen. I am not in competition in Villarica, Georgia with some pastor in Podunk, Kentucky who lives in a town of a population of 300 people, and I'm not going to rise up above him and say, I baptized 100. How many did you baptize down there, little guy? That ain't love, friend. That's a bunch of political garbage straight out of the pits of the damn. Hey, we're supposed to love one another. Amen. We're supposed to love each other. I'm supposed to love the preacher down the street, and I do. I'm going to tell you what a friend he is, by the way. And we need to plan something real good. I'm going to show you how much I love him. We need to plan something real good. Brother Steve Swafford, you know we got that fifth Sunday night service going to be combined here week after next. He sent me a text the other day. He said, I ran into Jerry Bailey. He said, you were sick, my brother, nigh unto death, period. May I have your deer rifle? Ain't that sweet? Ain't that sweet? I said, yeah, over my son's dead body. Amen. That's a friend. We need to come up with something. I ought to bring it that Sunday night and just point it at him. Amen. Anyway, that's my friend, man. I mean, we can throw rocks at each other. I mean, we're that close, but we're not in competition. We're on the same team. Amen. What a blessing. Man, we can love each other. Just with inside this church, we can love each other. We ain't got to fuss and squabble and fight. Then we can agree with those or disagree with those that are in authority in a position over an area. Hey, man, let them have it, man. God, they're going to answer to God. Amen. Hey, Brother Michael, runs your kid out of the kitchen, suck it up. It got quiet there, didn't it? Amen. I mean, stuff been taken granted for granted around here too long. If he puts his foot down and says, hey, you ain't got no business in here, they ain't got no business in there. Amen. 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 There's a seemingly rule at Happy Valley. If you leave it in the kitchen, it's mine. That's what people think. If you put it in the freezer, it's mine. If we find it in the Frigidaire, it's mine. Hey, listen, don't get mad at somebody when they correct somebody. Or don't get mad when you're corrected. Amen. Don't get mad when somebody says, hey, that's not for you. It's not for you. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Don't go, bless God, he has no business telling my child not to be in that kitchen. Yes, he does. I gave it to him. Amen. 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 And your kid comes over, Brother Michael told me, so well, bless God, pay attention to what he said. I never could play that card growing up. I didn't have no daddy. They had 15 deacons at White Oak. That church had more deacons than you could shake a stick at. Every other man in the place was a deacon. Every one of them had permission to whoop me. I never would go say, I'm going to go tell my mama. I knew better. That just meant I was going to get whooped by the deacon and whooped by mama when I got home. Y'all think I'm joking. I'm not joking. I can name you a list of men right now I can see vividly in my mind who tore my little rear end up. Boy, it got quiet. Bless God, nobody laying a hand on my child. I know that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. Hey, man. Man, I grew up in a day when it didn't matter if you was a kid, you was fair game. He was fair game. Brother Doug Baxter walked around in children's church. They had two aisles, and he had a stick long enough to reach down. He could reach the middle person in every aisle. If you was talking in junior church, whack, he'd whack you on the head with that stick. We'd go to jail for that today. We'd get something done for God if it wasn't for all these stupid laws, amen? What are you saying, preacher? Nobody got mad. I knew that man somehow in my heart. I knew that man whacking me on my head loved me. Cared for me. I knew that man, Brother Mark Dockery, walked them hallways. He is our security on Sunday morning. We about to have some around here. Running them halls. Hey, where are you supposed to be? Brother Jerry's class. Well, let's see to it you get there. Amen. Well, then this place, we can love each other. Why would we get mad at somebody who's trying to point your kid in the right direction? Now, somebody slaps your kid, mistreats your kid, you come tell me, we'll go whoop them together. Amen. I screamed at that right there a while ago. Miss Amy, I let him out all the way down the hall. Shut up! Leave it to Andrew Parker. Me and Shelly heard him. He was welcoming visitors. He was standing at the door. Everybody got in their car. He was screaming, "Welcome to Happy Valley!" I thought any minute there's going to be a first-time visitor get out of the car. Shut up while I'm making fun of you. Amen. Amen. That's just the way it is around here. Hey, God gave love to the world. I thought I was done. I turned my outline upside down. He gave love to the world. I want you to listen or look at, go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. We're going to turn about 4 or 5 verses of scripture. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter, what'd I say, 9? Matthew chapter 9. This is something in the day we're living I'm having a harder time with myself. Y'all pray for me. And but I got an itchy feeling. You probably are too. In Matthew chapter number 9, I want you to look with me at verse number 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. The Bible said, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." To the world, God gave love. To the world, Jesus gave love. To the multitudes, he showed compassion. Amen. I'm talking about we have the same thing to give that Jesus gives. In this day we're living, it's hard to be compassionate on that worldly crowd. Am I right about it?
Amen.
There's a certain crowd out there that just itching for a fight and looking for a fight. And listen, man, they just don't know the way. They don't know what we know. They don't know the Christ we know. They don't know the forgiveness we know. They don't know the love we know. But bless God, we do. And it's not them who's supposed to be compassionate toward us. It's us who's supposed to be compassionate toward them. A lady walked by my truck in the parking lot the other day, and I love, I forgot, I switched it out. I don't know what my scripture is now. I found me another, my new one's Real Tree, Levi. I got a Real Tree scripture sign on the back of my truck, and I believe it's "For what shall a man gain if he profit the whole world and lose his own soul?" I'm not sure, but anyway, lady walked by my truck at Walmart, her and her husband. She said, "Bien, bien, 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 bien," looking at that sign. I thought, how in the world could that offend you? Real Tree bother you that bad? I thought, she, bless her heart, she just don't like camouflage. I don't think the camo had nothing to do with it. It was that Bible scripture on it. And the first thing in my heart was, y'all know what I'm talking about? Slap you upside the head, you old biddy. I mean, you know, that's the first thing that comes to mind. It's okay to be honest, ain't it? And I'm walking behind them, following them. And I'm just watching her. And Jesus spoke to my heart and said, "She just don't know. What if you were in her shoes? What if you were in her shoes and didn't know that that was the Word of God? And didn't know that was truth?" He said, if she dies like she is, she'll go to hell. Why don't you saw the car they got out of? Why don't you go leave her a gospel tract?
Amen.
So I did. went back to my truck, and I put a Spanish one on her windshield. I'm kidding, I didn't. I put an English track that she could read and understand. I went back and put it under the windshield wiper. Compassion. It's hard to have compassion sometimes. You get out in this crowd, man, they make you want to smack them upside the head. But you know, that wasn't what Jesus did. The only crowd he smacked upside the head was them religious rulers. Them sanctimonious, better than you. That's the crowd he beat up. Oh, he called them names. He called them snakes. Oh, yeah, that Pharisaical crowd, that upper echelon, judging everybody else. Those keepers of the law. Oh, Jesus peeled their hide. But them common everyday sinners that turn their nose up at you, bumper sticker, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. I'm telling you what we've got to give this year. We've got the love of God that we can share. Yes, sir. You know what I'm going to do next Sunday? Lord, be my helper. I'm going to walk out there and I'm going to love on some of them bus kids' mom and daddy. I'm going to put a smile on my face. I don't care if I'm running a fever of 104. I'm going to shake their hand, tell them how glad I am they're here. You know why? Because I am glad. That number one prayer, that bus child, is pray for my mom and daddy that they'd get saved. Hey, we're going to show some compassion and love on them. That little old boy we're going to buy Christmas for, he's mini-me. They call him Little Eddie White on Donna's bus route, and he is wild as a buck rabbit. I ain't got no extra money. I ain't. But I'm going to make a way. I'm going to take part of Katie's, part of Levi's, all of Levi's. No, seriously. We're going to make sure them kids have a little Christmas. I want his mom and dad. I want the little boy to know we love him. But I want that mom and dad to say, hey, man, that church cares. That church cares about my little boys. That preacher's never even met my little boy. I didn't know he had a little brother. I had no idea there's a two-year-old. But I want that family to know, hey, that church cares about us. Whether we ever come or not, hey, one day they're going to have a need. They'll remember somebody who cared about them. Amen? To the world, he gave love. To the multitude, he gave compassion. Look with me in the book of John. John chapter number 4. I could have stretched this out and made it about 30 or 40 points easily. You get to think about what all Jesus gave. My goodness. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. You know, that's about all he did while he was here is give. It's about all he's done since he's been gone is give. John chapter 4, verse number 6. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture here. You know the story. The Bible said, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. He ain't even supposed to talk to a Samaritan, remember. He's a Jew, she's a Gentile, she's a dog, she's unclean. He's supposed to have no dealings with her. She comes to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew? That's the reason it said the woman of Samaria again. It's emphasizing who and what she is. Samaria saith, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, there it is again, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Then the woman saith unto him, Sir, I like this. Give me this water, that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, now watch this, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And the woman, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. I like this. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. I that speak unto thee am He. To the world He gave love. To the multitude He gave compassion. But to this woman He gave understanding. To this woman He gave understanding. He didn't judge her. He didn't accuse her. Now, if it was as bad for divorced people in my day growing up when I was a child, I wonder how bad it must have been for this woman. I don't know all the history, but I've always heard that she came at this time of day because she wasn't welcome at the well with the other ladies. I believe that. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I could believe that. I know in my childhood, my divorced mama, how she was looked down upon. But here this little lady who was living in adultery and already had five husbands came to the well, and there sat a Jew. She had no idea who this Jew was, but this Jew knew exactly who she was and went out of his way to meet her. He said, Go tell your husband and come hither. She said, I have no husband. He said, You're right. Remember what she said? We could have kept on reading. She ran back to town and said, Come see the man. Yep. Told me all things. Yeah. Is not this the Christ? Yeah. I wonder how she'd have left that day if he'd have treated her just like all the other Jews treated her. I wonder how some of these that have come in here would have left. They got treated like a lot of other Christians will treat them. We can give love. We can give compassion. And we can give understanding. I can understand some of these bus kids a little better than some of you. I've seen where they live. I've took some of them to their home. I don't understand why these kids act like they do. I do. Yeah. Jesus understood this woman because He knew where she came from. Amen. He didn't just judge her because of where she was at her point in life. He knew where she had been and what she had been through. Yeah. You don't know what some of these people have heard and been through the week before they get here. Right. We have no idea. We need to be a little bit more understanding. Yeah. Brother Charlie told me he's got a guy coming next Sunday, and he's retired military Air Force, and he's Roman, devout Roman Catholic, and he's this real biker type guy. Hey, I'm going to tell you, we're going to understand that guy when he gets here. Amen. Disabled vet. A wounded police officer. We're going to love on that guy. So what if he don't dress like us? Don't nobody dress like us. We got every dress from back to, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
About anybody come in here and fit in.
That's right.
Amen. We're going to try to have a little understanding about us. A little boy on visitation asked my wife, said, "Would my mama be welcome in your church?" My wife said, "Yeah, honey, your mother would be welcome." He said, "Well, she has tattoos." My wife said, "Sure." He said, "Every other church told us we couldn't come because she had tattoos." God forbid a bunch of people who grew up in a Christian home, never been out in the world, sit and judge people who have. But I'll be glad, I'll be honest with you, I'm glad there's a portion of us who've been where they are. We've been down in the gutter. We've been, and I'm not saying if you've got a tattoo, you've been in the gutter. I ain't saying that by no means. I'm just saying we understand. And we're not going to sit and point our fingers. I asked my pastor, Brother Earl, years ago, Brother Earl, me and him was on visitation. It was July, Brother Freddie. It was 100 degrees. His air conditioning didn't work. He had a little Honda Accord, and we had the windows rolled down. Brother Earl had on a long sleeve, button-up shirt, and a tie. I said, "Brother Earl, why come you wear long sleeves in the summer?" He said, "It's just cooler on me." I said, It is not. And me and him was just buddies, and we was arguing back and forth. And we stopped at the next house. He said, "Hang on before you get out." He started unbuttoning his shirt and rolling up his sleeve, and he had tattoos all the way down his arm. He got them while he was in the Navy. He said, "I tried to hide that as best I can." I said, "That's why you ain't so hard on people who has a tattoo, ain't it?" He said, "Yep."
Amen.
Amen. You don't judge divorced people if you've been through one.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Let me get real serious. I hope God don't have to put you through one.
Yeah. Amen.
To keep you from being mean to somebody else who's been through one.
Yeah. That's right.
I hope God don't have to put your teenager out in the world.
Amen.
Just so you'll keep your mouth off of somebody else's.
Amen.
We ought to pray, God give us understanding.
Yes, sir.
We ought to pray. That religious crowd would look at Jesus and say, "You shouldn't be talking to her." But Jesus could look back and say, "You don't understand. You don't understand. I've got what she needs. Preacher, why you let these people come in and these people come in? You don't understand. We've got what they need. We've got the answers for their life. We've got more to give than a Game Boy. We've got more to give than an iPad or an iPod. Hey, we've got the gift of gifts. We've got love. We've got compassion, and we've got understanding." Amen. A friend of mine said at the funeral home yesterday, and I love him to death, and he does it as a joke. He's always been very, very, very prejudiced. He said, "You still letting black people come to your church?" I said, "Letting them? I'm inviting them." He just grinned. He knew he was picking a fight. He does it every time I see him. Mama probably knows exactly who I'm talking about. He said, "You still letting them black folks come to your church?" I said, "Letting them. I'm inviting them." He said, "That's what I figured." I said, "Wait a minute, I ain't done." I said, "And Mexicans? And Asians, and I don't care what they are. If they come in purple polka dot, if that's the way God made them, come on in." I told him, I said, "Man, when we get to glory, I said, if there's a hood, I said, and they ain't going to be no hood. I said, but I hope that's where your mansion's at." No, be honest with you, there ain't going to be no separation there, friend. We've got through him and by him, we have to give what he gave.
Yes, sir.
He gave love to the world. He gave compassion to the multitude. He gave understanding to the woman. Look at Mark chapter number 8. Y'all got time for a couple more?
Yes, sir.
Mark, I ain't preached all stinking week, so I'm making up time. I got another message after this one. Mark chapter number 8. I'll be honest with you, tell me through this tonight, maybe you'll realize I can do more for Christmas this year than I thought I could. I can do a little more for my family this year than I thought I could. This love and compassion and understanding, it's not just to the world, it's within your home. Amen. Boy, if I could get some men to have a little compassion on their wife, maybe a little understanding. As things change through life. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
We got quiet, didn't we? What'd I say? Yeah, Mark chapter number 8. Look with me at verse number 33. I was trying to decide which verse to use here because there's several that I could have used with Simon Peter. But in Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 33... The Bible said when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Peter was boisterous, almost braggadocious. And I don't think he was just high strung. That's the way he is made. I thought about in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to arrest Jesus at night and Malchus' servant, the soldier, came to lay hands on the Lord. And when he did, Peter drew his sword and cut his ear off. I heard one preacher say in our camp meeting, he wasn't aiming for his ear. He is just a little off his game that night. He was after his head. Jesus picked the ear up and put it back on. Shortly before that, Jesus had told Simon Peter, he said, "This night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." But yet, the day of Pentecost comes. Simon Peter, of all people, stands on the street corner of the synagogue, wherever he was, and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved. The power of God falls on Simon Peter, this wild hair guy. This shoot from the hip guy. Why not John, the one that laid on his breast, the disciple Jesus loved? There's something special about Peter. Let me show you what the Lord gave Peter. He gave Peter patience. The Lord was patient with Simon Peter. Would you agree with that? I believe Simon was as used as much as any of the disciples was used at all. Simon Peter was a great man of God, but by all stretch of the means, man, he was a wild card. He was the one that said at Calvary, "I'm going fishing. That with this, I'm going back to what I used to do." Wasn't it so precious of the Lord to come to him that morning and build a fire and have some fish ready on the bank and deal with Peter eyeball to eyeball and went through that whole "Peter, do you love me" thing? Man, he didn't rebuke Peter. He didn't even ask Peter about the fire when he cursed the Lord and denied him three times. He never brought it up. He just asked him a simple question. "Do you love me?" "Lord, you know I love you." There's a lot of us, the Lord knows our heart and he knows we love him. But we run off crazy and half-cocked sometimes. Aren't you glad he's patient with us? I love that song, "He's Still Working on Me." That little phrase that said how loving and patient he must be. Because he's still working on me. And we watch him working on Simon Peter's life from the day he picked him up off the seashore where he was mending his net. And he worked with him for all those years and he was patient with him. He didn't give up on him. He didn't just kick him out. "Hey, you're out of the club. You can't cut people's ears off. That's against the rules. You're out. That's clause number 5. Thou shalt not whack off somebody's ear." Churched. We're going to church you. Thank God he was patient with Simon Peter. I'll be honest with you. We got a few guys around here that over the years people have told me, "You better do something with him. You better do something with that guy. He's mean. Boy, got quiet again. I said, won't you leave that guy alone? Brother Thomas ain't here tonight. I hate to talk about somebody when they ain't here, but he wouldn't care. Brother Thomas got saved. That old boy got, he come here. I'm talking about had the chain running down, the big pimp hat. I mean, he was a skint head. Is that what you call that, what he was? He was a skint head, a racist. Guess who works the most? Well, our little black bus children. I love it. People say, you better do something to him. He's mean. Blah, blah, blah. I said, just hold on. Just hold on. You've been saved 30 years. He's been in a month. Give God a little time. Be a little patient with him. I'd take 4 or 5 more like old Thomas Hogan. That man's precious to me. I really just keep him around for his wife. She's precious, amen. I'm kidding. I fight you over that family. Amen. There have been several others. Man, just full of zeal, no knowledge. Let's just give them some time, let them grow. Let's just give them some time. They're going to mess up. Man, those that really get on fire for God, want to go street preaching and knock on doors, they're going to say some stupid stuff. Just give them some time. I won't never forget Brother Tony Williams. They moved, but old Brother Tony, when they come, old Brother Tony got in. Not long after, we had one of those big visitations. Tony wanted to visit with me. He said, I want to be your partner. I said, well, come on. He still had long hair. We just walked through a subdivision. There's a man sitting on his front porch smoking. We got through talking to the guy, and he wasn't interested in trying to push me away. I said, sir, could I share something with you? He said, no, I ain't got to. I said, well, could I leave you a gospel tract? He said, yeah, and he took a gospel tract. We started to walk off. Tony stopped and said, hey, man, you ain't got no cigarette, have you? The guy give him one. Hey, a lot of Baptist churches couldn't handle that. You know what I thought it was? I thought it was precious, man. You ever watch your babies as they're growing up? You'll notice more when it's your grandbabies. Because you ain't so stressed out over everything. Some of the stupid little things they do. And you think it's cute. It was wrong, but it was funny. But they don't know. They just don't know. Lord, give us patience. That we can return to God's children that are coming up. We can be patient. There's a time. As we were walking down the road, I said, now, Tony, we don't bum cigarettes. I'll be honest with you, I was just glad the guy wasn't drinking a beer. Because I could have just heard him, you ain't got another cold one on you. I'm serious. That's the kind I track right there, bro. Hey, thank God, man. I'd rather attract that kind than that kind that thinks they know everything, brother. Let's learn to be patient with people. Listen, man, when I got saved, it took me a while to get victory over my cussing. It was bad. I had several other things to get victory over, but that took longer than any. Don't be nodding your head. It was bad. I mean, it really was. And it took me a long time, but boy, I fought it, and I fought it. I told my preacher every week, I said, Brother Earl, I set into cussing today. I throw the fit on the job. Just pray, ask God to forgive you. You'll get the victory, you know. And he's patient with me. He didn't tell me, you can't drive that bus no more. He said, you just keep praying, keep trying. Man, the Lord was convicting my heart about it. Yeah. Amen. And one day I got the victory over it. Praise the Lord. Thank God somebody was patient with me. When I got saved, I was one of them wild cards, man. I was like that before I got saved. I was just wide open and spastic, man. Man, I'm telling you, when you're patient with people, you get the return on the investment. You know what Jesus was doing? Of course, he was in glory. But on the day of Pentecost, you know what Jesus was doing? He was collecting the investment. I invested some time and some patience in that young man.
Amen.
Look at him. Look at them tongues of fire sitting on his head. Look at him preach under the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Look at them people falling under conviction, coming to know me as their Savior.
Amen.
He could have used anybody he wanted.
That's right.
Anybody in that crowd would be picked old Peter. One that took some patience. To the world, he gave love. To the multitude, he showed compassion. To the woman at the well, he showed understanding. To Peter, he showed patience. I just thought about this one, jotted it down. While they're singing, I thought about to his accusers. He gave forgiveness.
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you how you could have one of your best Christmases ever. Forgive whoever that is you're bitter at. Just come to this altar tonight and say, Lord, help me just to forgive them. Well, preacher, what if they hadn't asked? Doesn't matter. That crowd that was yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, they didn't ask for him to forgive them. Not one of them. They was probably still yelling, crucify him. Look at him up there, King of the Jews.
Yeah.
You know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes, amen.
Oh, Lord, give me a heart like that.
I
don't have one like that yet. I'm working on it. Lord, help us to forgive those who accuse us, even falsely, and lie about you. You ever been lied about? I've been lied on, brother. I've been lied about. God, forgive them. It ain't going to cost me nothing. It's just hurting them. And that's what Jesus understood at Calvary. Lord, what they're screaming, me and you know the truth. Father, you know the truth. I am the King of Kings.
Amen.
I am the King of the Jews.
Amen.
You and I know who I truly am, but they don't understand. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what he was saying. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know. They don't get it. Their eyes are blind. They don't see.
Right.
Well, it sure be good if we could offer a little forgiveness somewhere. Somebody that's judged us harshly or done us wrongly. Man, maybe they just don't get it. Maybe they don't understand. Maybe their heart's full of the devil. Maybe they're lost. Lost people don't know how to act. And they don't know how to treat people. They'll cheat you, lie on you, do you dirty. Won't they do it? I know some Christians that'll do you like that too. Kind of makes me wonder. Amen. John chapter number 11. You don't have to turn there and I'm done. John chapter number 11. Mary and Martha find Jesus and said, our brother's sick. And Jesus tarried. You know the story, Lazarus died. Mary and Martha said, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said something about the resurrection, or they said something about the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. They took Jesus to the tomb where the body of Jesus lay. And John chapter 11, verse number 43. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. To the world he gave love. To the multitude he gave compassion. To the woman at the well, understanding. To Peter, patience. To his accusers, forgiveness. And to the dead he gave life.
Amen.
To the dead he gave life.
Amen. That's good.
You can't find this stuff on Black Friday. At Walmart. It ain't at the mall. It ain't online. It's in that book right there. We have the greatest gift to offer anybody. Listen, the Lord blessed us a couple of years ago, and I mean, he really blessed me, and I was able to do some big things for my children and for some other people's children. The Lord just really blessed me that year, and I had some money. And I don't have a savings account. I never have. If I've got it, I spend it. And if I don't need it, I spend it on somebody else. And boy, that year we did. And then last year, Sister Angie said, we ain't going to be able to do like we did last year, are we? I said, nope. She said, well, I said, whoa. I said, if the Lord wanted us to do that again, he'd have gave it again. He'd have gave it to us again, and we'd do it again. And this year, it's less than it was last year. I'm going to sleep good tonight.
Amen.
I've got something better to give my son than a big screen TV.
Amen.
I know a lot of kids that'll get gifts that parents don't love them and care for. I'd rather my son know I love him. And I care about his spiritual being. And I care about his home and his family more than I care about what he's looking at on his wall. Amen. I got something greater than monetary things to give. And so do we all if we know Christ as our Savior. Amen. What did Jesus do? He gave. He gave himself. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
To the world, love. To the multitude that was scattered abroad, I kind of think it's like that crowd out there that's just wild and crazy and having no direction about them. They just chasing after everything. That's that crowd. When he saw them, the Bible said he was moved with compassion to that little woman at the well who lived a wicked life by any man's standards. He understood.
Amen.
To Peter, who was a little wild and hot-headed, quick at the mouth, he had patience. To those who falsely accused him, forgiveness. To the one who was dead, gave life. Simon Peter, as he entered that gate called Beautiful over there in Acts, there was a crippled man laying there, begging alms, a bum, begging for money. Had his little cup. Old Simon said, "Silver and gold have I none." Wasn't that Peter? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." I ain't got no money. You want to walk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
I ain't got no money. You want to go to heaven when you die?
Yeah.
Amen.
I've had them bums in Atlanta come up begging for money. "Hey, man, I need some money. I had no food, blah, blah, blah. I'll take you in here and buy you a hamburger." Oh, that makes me mad. Well, they ain't wanting no money to get no hamburger. They wanting some, Red Lady 21, is that what you call that old cheap wine? That's what they want. Try to share the gospel with them. Oh, they know the Lord better than you do. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." I'll give you what I got, and that's better than anything I could buy you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Sister Janice, if you'll just come play tonight. You can sing a verse if you want to. What time is it? Maybe I preach long tonight. Had a fella visited this morning for the first time, and he's going out the door. You know, usually people will shake your hands, you know, appreciate it, good message. This fella shook my hand this morning. He said, "I hadn't been in a Baptist church in years." He said, "But I just want you to know, you've renewed my faith in the fact that Baptist preachers are long-winded." I said, "Thank you, sir." Have a good day. We do have something to give. And I pray, hey, if the Lord blesses you to give good things to your children, have at it. Have at it. But don't bypass the spiritual things that God's given us to give and replace them with the material things that they won't even be fooling with next year. It'll be on to something else. Amen. Lord, dealing with your heart tonight, you come.